listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 32, and my guest is Todd Rhodes from toddrhodes.com. Oh, I should introduce myself. My name is DJ Chuang at djchuang.com, and you can connect with us here on the Social Media Church Podcast at socialmediachurch.net. And today I talk with Todd Rhodes from Leadership Network and toddrhodes.com, formerly of mondaymorninginsight.com. And I've had the pleasure of working with Todd Rhodes full-time when I was with Leadership Network from 2006 to 2009. And the last 3 or 4 years, we've stayed in touch. He's clocked in 7 years at Leadership Network, developing digital initiatives and new media. He honchos a number of online conferences that launched first with the Nines on September 9th. You'll hear the backstory to that. We talk about his perspective on the evolution of social media over recent years, how email is still relevant, and his thoughts on why social media is underutilized in many local churches, and a number of other things. Now, in the middle of our pre-recorded conversation, we talked about The Filter, which is a video commentary that Todd Rhodes and his friend Matt Steen was producing on Google Plus Hangout and archived on YouTube. Since that time, it has gotten a new name and has become a shorter video blog kind of format at 3 to 5 minutes each, talking about a daily topic related to church, something that they find interesting, and it's quite the color commentary. And then after my conversation with Todd, I actually included an excerpt from one of the newly updated video conversation from Todd Rhodes and Matt Steen, which is now called Ministry Briefing. So you'll want to check the show notes and see all the cool things that they talk about, news in the church world, and their personal take on it. So first, my conversation with Todd Rhodes. DJ Chuang here, and I am with Todd Rhodes, and he connects with a lot more church leaders than I do. So I wanted to have a conversation with him to hear about how he's seen the evolution and development of how church leaders are using social media across the board. We'll go 30,000 foot view and then drill down. So let's go chronologically. So you started connecting with church leaders through a couple of venues, Monday Morning Insight and church staffing, and then that's evolved into a prominent role with a Leadership Network. So take us through a walk through memory lane, if you would.
Well, sure. Memory lane in internet years is much shorter than it's kind of like dog years, I think. But I actually started a website called Church Staffing. That was kind of my first foray really into online things, or one of the first anyway. And that's been almost 10 years ago, which is a long time.
But wow, that is a long time.
It's been an interesting journey. You know, I started the website, and as part of that was one of the things I did even before Twitter and Facebook really took off was started blogging. And that was kind of a natural correlation that went along with the church staffing website. And I've kind of kept that up, and it's had different kind of looks and feels over the years. But done blogging. Still, I haven't done a whole lot on Facebook. I use Facebook more for personal type things, and use Twitter for more of the website and kind of the connecting church leaders thing. But to me, DJ, and I'd love to hear your take on this too. I think it's constantly progressing and changing. The thing I've noticed with Twitter is, and this change occurred maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, that it kind of reached kind of the breaking point where everybody was on it. And when it did that, it kind of lost, at least for me, part of its value, because it was such a race for so many people to follow everybody and to amass these big group of followers. And that actually happened. But when that happened, it lost a lot of its kind of intimacy and it lost. My feeling is everybody kind of got a little bit overexposed. to the point where nobody follows anybody anymore like they used to. It used to be a fairly, especially in the church world, used to be a fairly small, close-knit group of people that we would follow and kind of converse back and forth. And that's so Twitter for me has lost a lot of that community. It's still very effective. But, I mean, has that kind of been your experience as well? Just kind of a lot of almost clutter in some instances. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good observation. The thing with social networks I've noticed is it has a good run for maybe a 3-year window, and then as it becomes more mainstream and becomes noisier, the quality, quantity goes up, quality goes down. And that tends to happen over time. And so people stake out new grounds to kind of start fresh.
And I have a scene, I read a lot of your work because you're constantly kind of checking out all the new things out there. I haven't seen anything really new come across the pike here that seems to me that's going to take the place. But I'm telling you, the biggest change for me is, you know, I think I've got 15 or 16,000 people that follow me on Twitter. But I had a larger following literally back when it was 4,000 or 5,000, because those 4,000 or 5,000 people were connected and read, and if you tweeted, it would last for, you know, a day or two. And now that if you put out a tweet, it's gone. You know, it's got a lifespan of maybe 5 minutes sometimes.
Well, 2 to 3 hours, according to the statistics, but it depends on the audience. That's right. So,
yeah. And I think that's probably true. But for my audience, it seems like if they don't catch it even in the first few minutes, the tail just really goes down quickly, which is, you know, it's all cool. It's different than it was. Now, interestingly enough, you know, I've just kind of changed my strategy a little bit here in the last month to 60 days, where I'm doing more of a kind of a daily top 10 read list for church leaders, and that's been going really well. But, you know, it's driven by social media, but it's still driven primarily via email, and email is still, in my opinion, people, you know, I read a lot of articles that people say email's dead, or it's, you know, kind of the whole clutter thing with email too. But still, a lot of the links that I put up are still driven through email newsletters and kind of supplemented on the back end with some of the Twitter and Facebook.
Fascinating. Well, let's drill down on some of those things. You probably made the biggest splash in connecting with a lot of church leaders through Monday Morning Insight, and that was a weekly email newsletter where you're an amazing information maven. You're probably scouring thousands of websites for salient articles that are both entertaining as well as insightful for church leaders. And that list has grown over the years. It's taken different formats now that we do have quicker communication channels like Twitter and blogging. But you kind of kept that up over the years, so you do demonstrate how email is effective. But let's talk a little bit more about Twitter. I used to have more followers than you, and then you exploded. And so what did you do to grow your audience?
You know, I think the you know, 2 years ago, I kind of fell trapped to the same game, you know, where I don't know if you did or not, but it was like, you know, I got to get more followers, got to get me. It's like I very seldom ever look. And it's probably been a month or two since I've even looked to see what my followers are. And it's steadied off. You know, I think just creating good content and pointing people to good content builds the community. And I think what I like to do is kind of search. I love to read and research. And I love the church, and the church is quirky and fun, and I love great leadership resources, but I also like kind of the quirky, funny, weird type things. There's so much information out there that's put out for church leaders, and that's one of the things that I think that's changed primarily in the last couple years is it seems like not as many people are blogging, not as many people, everybody's on Twitter, but nobody's really listening, but it seems like everybody's creating content. Quite frankly, some of it's just not very good content. Some of it's great. There's a lot of great stuff, but there's a lot of, you know, that, People have access to the internet and are able to put stuff up, and it's just not really helpful. So what I like to do is to kind of filter through all of that and find the good stuff and kind of share. So that's been kind of my niche, to try and kind of dig through some of the clutter, saying that nicely in some of the instances, but find the really good things that that help me, that would help others. And that's been kind of the way that I've build or whatever.
Yeah, and you have probably more experience than anybody in being a curator of quality content over the years. So I certainly want to express my thanks for you doing that. How do you do that? Can you describe a bit of the workflow?
Sure. You know, there's a couple different ways, and this is constantly kind of changing for me as well. I have probably about 300 or 400 RSS feeds that I work through, and I look mostly at Google Reader, but anything from ministry related stuff, leadership stuff, technology and trends are kind of the things that I watch. But I've got it down to a system where I can pretty quickly go through, I think it's 400 or 500 different articles and things that come in every day. But it takes a little bit of time, but I'm able to get through that pretty quickly and kind of eye the things that I think are interesting and good. The other thing that I've done just recently that's also helpful, there's a little bit of duplicity here, but I also just go to Google and I go to YouTube, and with the search mechanisms they have, you can actually search the latest things, like within the last 24 hours, of things that have been added. So I'll pick up a lot of really interesting, like, news stories and TV, local TV news reports of churches and things that are going on, good stuff, bad stuff, weird stuff. And all of that is kind of what I use I've been trying to find the top 10 here the last couple months, and it seems to be working really well. But, you know, it takes probably from the time I open up my Google Reader until I'm able to get all of them done. I've got it down to a pretty good routine where it takes about an hour and a half or so.
Impressive.
Every day, which is like a lot, or seems like not enough. I don't know, but it seems to be working right now. So I'll stick with it for a little bit. It'll change, though, in a month. It always does.
Well, thanks for doing that. What keeps you going? I mean, does this make you money, or this is just a hobby?
No. My full-time gig still with Leadership Network. So I get up early. I've got four kids, but three of them are in actually, two of them are still in high school. So they're up early, and so I'm up, you know, quarter to six o'clock. So by the time they're ready to leave for school, I've got most all of the curation and blog posts and everything done, email newsletter ready to go out by the time they go to school. So I really try and get that done early in the day so I can have the rest of the day to do my real job. But no, you know, I've never really either figured out a way or really taken a lot of time to try and monetize it. Kind of what keeps me going is I love it when I got an email this morning from a pastor I didn't know, that said, thanks for what you do. You know, I read the links and it really helps me in my ministry. And that's really what charges me up, is being able to find the resources and put them out there and help some people. Because I know being a pastor, being a church leader is one of the toughest jobs, I think, that are out there. It's just, it's stressful and very difficult. So any way I can help, I love to help.
Great. Well, thank you for doing that. And that's the heart we have here at Social Media Church as well. I'm not making a dime on this either. So let's talk a bit about, actually, you mentioned the filter. So as you're filtering content, you've also come up with a video version of that. Introduce that to our listeners.
And I think that's going to change. I'm not quite sure exactly how it's going to change exactly for the first of the year. But my friend Matt Steen from Long Island and I have been doing this weekly thing where we just kind of get together on a Google Hangout and talk about ministry stuff. And really, it's just the things that interest us and a little bit of talk and chatter, and we're going to get ourselves in trouble probably with some of the things we say in there. We just have fun. Matt loves the church and kind of loves the little idiosyncrasies as well. So we kind of pick at people sometimes, encourage people, and talk about some of the latest current events. But we're going to change the format of it. We've just been kind of sitting around. It's taken, you know, 50 minutes to an hour every week, which is way too long for a podcast. But it's been a lot of fun.
Wonderful. And then let's talk about your work as a leadership network. In particular, the online conferences. I think Leadership Network has been connecting innovative churches for 28 years now. And so I've been a part of that team full-time and then currently contracting. You've been on their team full-time for, what, going on 6 years now? Is that right?
Probably closer to seven, I think.
Oh, number seven. Well, congratulations. I think you might get a watch out of that or something.
Started back with the nines on 09, 09, 09, which was kind of a lame brain idea to thought, well, what if we, because we had just done this big conference a year before where we, you know, paid all these speakers to come in and rented the venue and it was just very costly. And the technology was starting to get to where the video was starting to come on. We thought, well, what if we didn't try doing just a conference online? And we did it 09, 09, 09, called it the nines and had a bunch of speakers that we asked speak for 9 minutes if I had one thing I could share with the church community, what would it be? But the thing really took off. I mean, we got some great speakers and had a lot of people come and join us this past year. I think was our fourth year of doing it, 9, 10, 11, 12, yeah, fourth year. I kind of got lost there. But fourth year, we had about 35,000 church leaders that joined us. We did it from the UK this year to kind of highlight some of our Leadership Network Europe programs. But it's been a great way not only for Leadership Network to kind of spread the word about a lot of the things that we're working on, but also to help and resource thousands of church leaders literally all around the world. It's been a blast to be a part of. We've got some cool things we're going to do next year as well. We're going to do the nines again, but a couple other conferences, one on succession, I think, and a couple others on just some innovative things that churches are doing both here in the States and in Europe. So it's been a blast to be a part of, and I think it's a great way for churches. I know it's been a great way for us to kind of spread the word and to do some training and encouragement. I think in the future, more churches are going to be able to do that. The technology has really come a long way in the past 4 years, and it's only going to get better and more accessible for churches.
Yeah, so essentially it's an online conference, which is a video stream of pre-recorded content, which is shown. There's a screening time that is shown during the day of, so it's what some people might call simulated live. And you incorporate a number of social media elements around that to make it an interactive experience. Can you tell us what kind of things you did for this time around? Because you actually had a two-day event.
Yeah, we did it. We did the nines for 2 days. It was like 5 hours, or actually about 6 hours, both days. But we the biggest way we tie in social media is mainly Twitter. But it's, if you went to the page that day, you would see the video, but you'd also see some live notes, and you'd also see a live Twitter stream that we were trending worldwide on Twitter for, I think, both days when we did the nines this past year, which was really awesome. But a lot of comments, a lot of community happens during that time, and it's a lot of fun, not just to watch the video, but also to interact with all the thousands of people that are watching. So it's been – and that – social media also from that aspect has helped us to increase the audience quite a lot too, because a lot of people that hadn't heard about the nines actually hear about it on the day of from reading all their the tweets from their followers. So it's been a really, really fun, but it's been a low cost way for us really to leverage our kind of our platform and our speakers and a lot of the innovations that we're working on. And it's so much of a better solution for us than trying to do the big on-site conference, which for us, we're not conference producers. So it was it just seemed to be a really good mix for us and continues to be. We're going to continue to push the edge a little bit. We're going to try some new things this next year. It'll be fun.
Can you give us a little hint or a sneak preview on a couple of those things as an exclusive?
Exclusive? Well, one of the things we're thinking about doing is, we've done both the pre-recorded and we've done mostly short format videos, anywhere from 5 to 9 minutes. And we're still going to use that. That's still going to be primarily. But I think we're going to also do some live roundtables and maybe some breakout sessions on some of our smaller events that we're going to try out. So, for instance, we're going to do one that's going to kind of highlight over a couple hours three different types of church innovation. And then for the last half hour or so, we're going to break it up into three different live streams that people will be able to pick and choose and go and interact with specific leaders that they want to. So just kind of breaking it up a little bit and pushing the technology in new ways and maybe switching around the formatting a little bit just to kind of see where it goes and see what is most effective, mainly for the viewers.
Very cool. We'll definitely stay tuned on that. And I'll add a link in the show notes to Leadership Network as well as to your website, blog, Twitter feed, everywhere else. So we've talked a lot about resourcing church leaders and helping church leaders connect to church leaders. As a church observer, where are you seeing church leaders using social media effectively to connect with their congregation and to extend their ministry to the world? What are a couple of examples that excite you that you spotted?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question. I think social media is still underutilized by a lot of pastors on a local basis for their local church. Now, I think it's all according to where you're at and what maybe what location you are. Like for me, I live in rural Ohio, so Twitter is not the way to go if you're trying to speak with people at my church. But Facebook absolutely is. Everybody here in my little burb in Ohio is on Facebook. So Facebook is a great way to communicate, and we don't do it as well as we should. But it's a great avenue that I think a lot of local churches haven't used. One trend I saw maybe about a year ago, and I just haven't researched it a whole lot. Maybe you have a little bit more input on this, but I saw a lot of churches starting to use actual Facebook pages. I know Life Church did a lot with this, and I haven't been really back to see what they're doing with it. But they actually, rather than having like a full-blown website, which they still, I think, still have, but a lot of their campuses were just primarily Facebook groups and Facebook pages, which seemed to be really interesting to me. Rather than making people that are already on Facebook go to your website, it was kind of flipping it upside down and saying people are already on Facebook, you know, let's kind of take our page to where they are, which I think is brilliant. And I think there's some openings for more churches to do those kind of things. And I think I read something, I don't know, it was by Bobby or somebody on their team that just said, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It cuts our costs, our production costs way down because we're using somebody else's platform. You know, it puts our stuff where people are already at. So that's an interesting trend that I saw about a year ago, and I just haven't really taken the time to go and see what's happening there as much.
Well, I'll refer you to my list. I put together a list of the top Facebook pages of churches with the most fans.
That came out, was it about like 6 months ago or something that you posted that?
Actually, probably 6 weeks ago. So I'll add a link to my show notes. I updated it. I put a list together a year ago, and then I updated it for this year because things move very fast, you know. And so there were new people in the list and some old people that have stayed on the list. And the ones that have, you know, tens of thousands of fans, they're using it to connect with the extent of their ministry, you know, around the world more so. And I think what you've described is how can we figure out how to use social media more locally? And I think that's a different strategy and a different approach, which Life Church has done well in terms of establishing a separate Facebook page for each of their campuses for more local engagements. And Facebook is kind of quirky. They change the rules every few months. And so what used to be a welcome page where you could really focus your communication is no more. You have to try to figure out how to communicate through a timeline that gets filtered through EdgeRank, where less than 20% of your fans ever see your updates. And that can be rather frustrating.
They changed it up, haven't they? And that's part of the problem with that type of a solution is that you don't own the content or you don't own the platform. And you don't really own the content either. So as long as they keep things kind of the rules kind of even, you're good. But as soon as they start changing up, and they've changed a lot in the past year, primarily to, I think, more advertising type model. You know, they want some money to get all the posts where they, where you want them. That's a little.
So what's your take on Google Plus or Pinterest or Instagram?
I have Instagram. I don't. My life is not interesting enough to take a lot of pictures. You know, just throw that out there. It's not. But I think Instagram's cool. Pinterest, I have not gotten into it. And my wife hasn't, but a lot of her friends are. Just they're, you know, trying to get her to go at it. Google Plus, I love Google Plus, but I've tried three or four times to make a real concerted effort to connect on Google Plus, and just there's not a whole lot of our church peeps that are over there yet. I wish they would. I love the platform, and like I said, I would use Google Plus more as a church platform, as a professional platform, than what I would Facebook. I've just not Facebook's really confusing to me still. So I use Facebook a lot for the people that I know locally that are part of my church and my friends here locally. But I don't follow a lot of ministry people on it because most of the ministry people I follow on Facebook post everything they do on Facebook on their Twitter, and I already follow them on Twitter. So it's kind of double dip in there. So.
Yeah. Well, great connecting with you, Todd. Thank you for being part of this conversation and doing what you're doing.
You too, DJ. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Todd Rhodes. Always great chatting with you. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for links to everything that we've mentioned on our conversation. And here's the excerpt from Ministry Briefing, a video blog commentary with Matt Steen and Todd Rhodes, just to give you a sense of what they chat about. This one's about Facebook and how it might make you feel bad.
Hey, this is Ministry Briefing. I'm Matt Steen. That's Todd Rhodes. And Todd, I have some bad news for you, apparently. German researchers are saying that Facebook can cause envy and trigger feelings of misery and loneliness. I'm not sure if you heard this or not, but this is according to a Chicago Tribune article where it finds that researchers found that 1 in 3 people felt worse after visiting the site and more dissatisfied with their lives, while people who browse without contributing were affected the most. Todd, does Facebook make you miserable?
Well, let me go on record as saying I'm more of a stalker than a poster, but mostly because I just feel like my life's pretty boring. I get up in the morning, I eat breakfast, and I don't take a picture of it normally. Oh. and post it. I work. Sometimes I go to Walmart, pick up the kids from school. It's all pretty exciting stuff. So my life isn't all that exciting, so I don't post a lot. But I use Facebook not so much for ministry stuff, but for personal stuff, Matt. So I follow like people at church and people I know locally, friends. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting to see what they're doing. I can't say that I've ever really been envious or depressed because I read somebody's update. My theory is, and this is pretty profound. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? You might want to sit down for this.
I'm sitting down.
Okay. My theory is that I think this is a little bit of bunk here.
Wow.
My feeling is if your life sucks and you're on Facebook and you see other people's things, it's going to make you feel like your life is even more sucky. If you feel fairly good about your life, things are going good. Facebook's, I don't know that Facebook can bring on the envy. I think it can compound the envy.
Yeah. It has more of an amplifier effect than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I'd agree with that. I agree with that. It amplifies it, and it's a great engine for passive aggressive behavior. Is that yeah. An accurate statement?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. And Twitter can be the same way. But you know, I'm mostly, quite honestly, on Twitter for the grumpy cat posts. Have you seen the grumpy cat posts? I mean, no. Those don't make me depressed or envy. They just make me smile.
Well, if you have a particular grumpy cat post that makes you smile, go ahead and let us know which one it is, because we want to smile with you.
Matt Steen and Todd Rhodes having some fun with their faith and not taking themselves too seriously, taking God seriously, and commenting on church as they see it from their seats in the pews. Although I'm not sure they sit in pews, they probably sit in chairs. Loved your feedback about how you're doing church and social media. And if you'd like to add your cover commentary, feel free to do it here at Social Media Church or over at Ministry Briefing. I'll add links in the show notes. Connect with us at socialmediachurch.net. We'd love to hear from you. And you can even call in on our voicemail line and add your voice to the conversation here. The number is 9493-543216. Here's a question via Twitter from Jason Arredondo in San Antonio. With a rise in church attendance, how should that change how a church handles social media? Off the top of my head, I would say with more people in church, that should mean more people speaking on behalf of the church. Or not only speaking on behalf of the church, but also facilitating the many conversations that happen in church. So I'll point to my previous episode on the Social Media Podcast, episode 31, my conversation with Adam Jeske, talking about how at Urbana 12, a large student mission conference that happens every 3 years, with 16,000 in attendance, it took 14 of us to manage the social media channels that we chose to engage our attendees with. And so as your audience grows, you probably would want more people, more hands on deck, more people administrating and moderating the flow of conversations on different social media channels to best engage with them. And you'll definitely want to, for those managing the church accounts, to understand the organizational voice and have some guidelines on how to represent the church and represent Christ well. So that would be my first tip. I would love to hear your comments. Chime in at socialmediachurch.net, or you can call in on our voicemail number, 9493-543216. We'd certainly love to have your wisdom. Let's learn together on how we can facilitate social media for a growing audience. With this episode, we will have exceeded over 5,000 downloads of the Social Media Podcasts. So thank you for being a faithful and regular listener. Subscribe to us on iTunes and spread the words, rate and review so people can find this resource to encourage church leaders about how they're using social media. Let me wrap up this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.